Fashion.
I'm Abby.
I'm Evan.
And I'm Katie.
And you're listening to The Fashion Hags.
We love to love
and love to hate
all things fashion.
Hey. Hello, hag friends. We're back again for episode 37.
Hag friends, I like that.
Hag friends.
Hag fronds.
Hogs. Hi, hogs.
Hog fronds.
Hog fronds.
Hi, hog fronds. Well.
We have had...
Quality.
We've had some exciting things happening on our end with our t-shirts right off the bat.
Yes. Let's remind everybody about our fucking sweet-ass t-shirts.
Our fucking dope-ass t-shirts. You can go to thehagshop.ticktail.com.
T-I-C-T-A-I-L.
Or also you can just get the link from fashionhags.com as well. Or pardon me, fashionhagspodcast.com. But they're selling really well. We're really excited. It's been...
Got a bunch of orders.
I know. We got a whole bunch of orders.
Feeling real loved.
Yeah. Real love.
So excited when I open my email and I see another name added to the list. It's good times.
We've been getting such nice messages from people too on the orders. Like
yeah.
You leave a message when you buy them and it like just the best. Just mm-hmm. We have the best.
It's just lovely.
We're the best hag friends, as you'd say. Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's been very cool. So thanks for that. We'll give you a reminder again at the end of this episode, but you only have until the 29th of April. To get your shirts in. I think that's the date we said, right?
Yes, that is the date we said.
And
closing sales.
Hard
closing
close.
Sales. Limited edition.
Unless we sell out before that.
Sure.
Unless we sell our 50 before it.
And then fuck you, we sold out.
And then sorry. You'll have to beg us for one after that. So anyway, go check those out. And thanks so much to everybody who has already ordered and who has shared it around. And we love you guys so much. It's so great. So hopefully... If you want one, you can get it. And if you have any questions, just check out the website, check out the shop, or just email us too. Mm-hmm. That's fine too. Reach out wherever you want.
Can do.
Yeah.
Anyway, figuring it out.
Get that little business sorted.
Yes. We'll talk about it again later. Don't worry about it.
Yes. Our episode theme today is very much
is on
directed
topic.
Upon that. So, yes.
So we'll have ample opportunity to bring it up about a bunch more times.
Yeah. About like an hour and a half worth of time.
Sure. About that.
90 minutes.
But before we get too caught up in t-shirts and other t-shirt related accessories. Evan, what are you doing? I chose you. You go first.
You know how I always complain about not doing anything?
Mm-hmm.
And usually after a while of not doing anything, a lot of things happen all at once.
When it rains, it pours.
And you become very overwhelmed.
Yes. Yes.
Well, this...
You get used to that pace of nothing. And then when everything hits...
It's like, oh, I'm not used to being busy anymore.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh, I don't care for it.
No. I was just like reminiscing the other day. It's like when I was in school and I was working... And doing my own shit at the same time, I just didn't sleep. Like I had...
So your brain was always on.
Yeah, we were always on the go.
You had literally a to-do list running in your head all the time.
And you didn't forget anything.
No.
And like now...
Except maybe to eat.
Yeah. We forgot to
eat. Or shower.
Or shower.
I would usually...
Or like...
Laundry.
Oh, shit.
Pay your phone bill.
Eaten in 12 hours.
It's
weird.
But it's just like...
You've hit a...
That's how my body is feeling these days. But I am like, it's been great. I went this past week. I went to Eco Fashion Week, and
which is becoming a really big deal.
It's big time.
They've had what, 10?
This was 12.
Oh, 12. Okay, oh. So 12. 6 years.
Yeah,
that's awesome.
Yeah, it's been 7 years. It's been going on just as long as I've lived here because I volunteered at the first ever.
Oh yeah, because you got in on the ground floor. Absolutely.
Yeah. But this time around, I wasn't presenting anything, but me and past head guest Claire Gabbro,
yes,
we did a draping demonstration for one of the sponsors for Eco Fashion Week called Ecotex. It's a company from Sweden that, I think it's Sweden. It's from somewhere in Scandinavia. I'm doing a horrible job of being a rep right now.
If you're curious, look it up.
Yeah. But they have a set of standards that they follow, and it's a certification that they give to fabrics. So you can buy Ecotex certified fabrics, and they have
okay.
And there's different levels.
This, sure. Yeah,
there's different levels of like water consumption and non-toxicity and what and all these kinds of things.
Emissions, so,
sorry,
whatever.
Is it like a company or is it like a designation? Like, is it a company that makes fabric or is it a company that...
It tests fabric.
That tests and, yeah. and then designates different fabrics so it, like, say like, as that level.
Yeah, so okay. say like I, as a designer, developed a new fabric. I could send the fabric to them and they would certify it as Ecotec certified. So worldwide, it would be, you can have that label on your labels in a store.
Got it.
For, it'll be a recognized standard. It's a recognized standard.
Thing. It's a okay. recognized standard of eco-friendliness in a textile.
That's pretty
good. And they do everything. They do like towels, they do linens, they do garments, they do like upholstery. Like,
oh,
it's,
cool.
it,
oh,
it's wow. not just for fashion. It's like textiles in general. But what we did was we took some fabric and we did a draping demonstration just to show you what was possible with their fabrics.
Cool.
And that was really fun.
And watching somebody drape was pretty cool.
Yeah, like people were so fascinated by it.
It's not a thing yeah. people think of or know of.
Yeah, they're like, oh, we were gone like an hour ago and now you have something like on the yeah. on the form.
Yeah, that's the whole point.
That's kind of how it happens, yeah.
It's kind yeah, of how this
but
works.
That was really cool. And it's
oh, that's
it's,
awesome. And you got to do it with Claire. That's great.
Yeah, exactly.
What kind of fabric did you use?
It was like stunning, like really soft baby modal.
Oh.
And it had like a bit of a sheerness to it, but it also had a sheen. So it
was
had,
it
like,
a knit or a woven?
It was a knit.
Oh, yeah, that's nice then. That'll drape real nice.
Yeah. So I draped this like Grecian Daenerys Targaryen style gown. It was really fun.
Sweet. Mm-hmm.
And then
so Madame Gris sort of.
Definitely Madame Gris, yeah. but I also did a segment on ET Canada, which was really fun.
Which is like Canada's
Canada's version of Entertainment Tonight.
Literally. It's the exact same thing.
And that was like my first national television thing.
So exciting. Kind of
exciting.
I think my mom was more excited than I was. I was more terrified of looking stupid or sounding stupid.
That's what you should have just, every time that they go to you to ask a question or something, you should have just said, Fashion Hacks Podcast? Fashion Hacks Podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, Fashion Hacks Podcast?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Fashion
my
podcast? Yeah. And then you're like, damn, we got to cut Evan out of this whole sketch.
This whole damn thing.
That's yeah. exciting. We just watched it, actually.
Yeah, I recorded yeah. it. We just watched it upstairs. Yeah, so it was just you guys giving a review of...
We did a review of three collections from Eco Fashion Week. We just talked about how amazing it was. And we'll put up a link to that.
Yep.
We can link you all to that. And yeah.
That was exciting.
Real, real fucking busy.
Yeah.
Yeah, between work and your own shit and then all the Eco Fashion Week stuff you got to do.
Oh, yeah.
So was it in Toronto at the same time as well? Eco Fashion Week?
No, it was 2 weeks before in Toronto.
Okay.
Yeah, and then they presented the 81-pound challenge, which was amazing.
Isn't that funny how it used to be the 68-pound challenge?
When I did it, when I did it, it was 68 pounds. And like I only did it three or 4 years ago.
Yeah.
And it's already. And it's gone up like 12 pounds.
For people who don't know what
yeah,
it is.
Yeah, I was going to say, what does that mean?
One of the biggest sponsors of Eco Fashion Week is Value Village.
Mm-hmm.
And they promote thrifting and reusing and that sort of thing. And they didn't come up with the, I don't know.
I think Miriam came up with the.
Yeah, Miriam.
Maybe they came up with it together. I don't really know the origin story for it.
Well, you explain the origins. Yeah. You did it.
But,
what am I doing?
The 68/81-pound challenge.
slash whatever it's going to be next year.
Whatever it's going to be in a couple more years. They pick a designer or a group of designers to take 68/81 pounds of textile waste from Value Village. And
so they just essentially go into Value Village and you shop.
And because there's these items, like if things don't sell in a certain amount of time, then what they do is they bundle these items together and they sell them back to the places where they bought them from. And it's like creating like a cycle of, like a closed cycle of commerce. So they, instead of,
Just chucking it
in the garbage. Like they're sent off to third world countries where this part of the world is in desperate need of winter jackets, so it'll be sent there.
Sure.
Or it's in need of shoes or summer clothing or anything like that. And so what we do is what I did was choose from these items, and you need to create a high end collection.
But what's the number?
68 pounds was the amount of textile waste per person in North America annually. So
you will throw away 68 pounds worth of clothing and textiles
in a year.
/ 81.
But now it's 81.
That's gone up.
Thanks, fast fashion.
Yeah. And I don't think any designer has ever really used the full 68 or 81 pounds. It's a massive amount of textiles.
Yeah.
Like, we always have to take that amount, but I really doubt that we actually,
you're actually using all of it. Because, I mean, you'll have scraps and wastage and stuff.
Yeah, there's always waste when you make clothes. It's just about trying to maintain your waste and what you do with the waste and all that stuff.
Yeah, because that's something that doesn't have recycling.
No.
Textile doesn't have, we can't just put it in a box and have someone take it away. Mm-hmm. Like, there's no way for the layperson to recycle. So, I mean, I just cleaned out some fabric from my sewing room and I have a couple garbage bags worth and it just, ugh. Well, the reason I haven't been cleaning it out is because I know it's just garbage and it's just scraps and stuff and you can't really reuse it or it's gross and, you know, or.
And then if you're going to
I feel terrible.
If you're going to send fabric to a reprocessing mill where they strip it all down and re-spin it into yarns and make a recycled fabric, you need to have it a ton.
Yeah.
It's a minimum amount of weight before they accept it.
Yeah. And it's also worthwhile for them to do it.
And then it all needs to be the same
fabric
content.
Type. Yeah.
And it degrades the fabric as well, too.
Yeah, it's not, the yeah, thread isn't that strong good. Anymore.
But I also saw, I forget where I've seen it now that I think about it, but there was a thing a little while ago I saw about old denim and reusing old denim. Mm. And basically they take it, I think must be a private company that does it, but they take it and sort of shred it and break it all down or whatever, and then they use the fibers that are broken down and they use it for insulation, like in a building.
Oh, that's, so they make a pulp out of it essentially, yeah. and use
it for building insulation, which I thought was genius.
Yes.
That's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I'll try and find that.
Better than fiberglass.
But it's not, like you say, it's not like a government system that does it. It's a private company does it. Yeah,
like tin cans and stuff.
Yeah.
Maybe one day.
Yeah, that'd be great.
That'd be amazing.
You can only make so many rags or stuff so many pillows with.
I know.
What do you do with old towels? You know, I give them to my dog, but even then.
Eventually, they end up in the bin.
Or a sheet. Yeah. We just noticed we have a big hole in one of our sheets. And I'll reuse it because, you know, I'll use a bed sheet to sew and stuff. But the average person, there's a rip in it that's, I don't know, 4 inches long. And it's a big queen-size sheet. Throw it out.
Yeah, what are you going to do?
What are you going to do? Shine your shoes with it? Maybe, a third of it? And then you throw the rest away because there's literally nothing else you can do with it.
Yeah, it's nuts.
Oh, well. Or just give it to somebody at Ecofashion Week and let me get out of it.
Yeah, exactly.
There you go. Oh, and this year was Evan Bedell, who was
Project Runway Canada.
Project Runway Canada. He was the first winner, wasn't he? Or second winner? Anyway.
I can't remember.
There hasn't been that many seasons.
No.
But anyway, he was on Project Runway Canada and he won.
I didn't see much of it. I was out of town last week and I was supposed to go to a bunch of things and I was like, fuck, I crossed my wires about the weekend that we were going away. And I was like, oh, I'm gonna miss.
Yeah, I didn't get to go to anything either because I had another thing. Like, it was a whole thing, and it was fun. But we had rescheduled this dinner three times. I can't cancel. We've been trying since January to get together. I can't cancel on these people again. So anyway, so you represented.
I represented the Hags.
Thank you. Yes. You've done a very good job. You got some national attention. So
yeah.
Yes. We could not have done that better. So.
Yeah. Thanks to V and Miriam for thinking of me to do that, because most people wouldn't think that I should do national television.
Well, fuck them. You're on international podcast, so
yeah,
they can suck a bag of dicks.
A world famous podcast.
Yes, famous. Mm-hmm. Super famous.
What's new with you, Abby? What's happening?
I really don't have that much, but I did finally put that dresser together.
Yay!
This is the third episode I'm talking about it, so 6 weeks. I put it together. And then the bottom drawer doesn't close.
No! Damn you!
Fuck you, Tarva! So I was so excited. I'm like, yeah, there's 5 drawers. Boom, 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 boom. Fuck! And it's still open. And I pushed it too hard and now it's stuck and I just gave up on it. So I told Dave, I'm like, we have this lovely dresser and four of the drawers work.
Yeah.
God. And the last one we can't use. The biggest one that's at the bottom, can't use it.
But you're usually so good with IKEA stuff.
That's what the thing is. I'm black belt level IKEA. I'm, so if that's a testament to how they need to get, I don't know, somebody else has a different Tarva experience, a
pine
dresser.
They need to go
dresser.
Back to the drawing board with the Tarva.
Oh my God. Or maybe I just got a bogus one or something.
Yeah,
I don't
maybe.
Know. I got a lemon.
You got a dud.
Oh, man. So I put it together. I was pretty happy. And now my child's clothing is not just literally thrown in my dining room because I can't be fucked to put it back in the IKEA bag. So it was just, Dave's like, sweet, can get rid of all this now? I'm like, yeah. Yeah. Well, not all of it, because that last drawer, yeah. There's still a little bit left in a bag. We need to figure out that last drawer.
Oh, that is so annoying.
And my other real big thing was Coast opened here in Vancouver.
Yeah.
I was going to ask you about it, and then I was like, we'll probably get this into the topic.
COS. So I won't get into it. It's H&M's older, wiser, better made.
Cooler.
Cooler, way cooler sister. And I went down there. And like I'm a very strategic when I shop, like a boom, boom, boom. But this time I touched everything.
That's what I did when I went there.
I touched everything, and I did a recon loop, mm-hmm. and then I came back and I grabbed a bunch. I've never tried on anything that many things in my life in a store.
Oh really? Oh good.
I tried. I swear to God, like 30 things. I had a whole arm full of hangers, and then one of the people who worked there was like, "Oh my God, can I help you?" And I'm like, "Yes. This is round one.
Yeah.
I'll be back with Brooke. So this is the first third of the store.
Yeah. This is the blue selection. Yeah, we'll move on.
Gray.
To the...
We're moving on to the mustard and black. Yeah. And then we'll get to the white and the red, mm-hmm. and then we'll get to the orange and the gray. Okay. Thank you. So I only bought two things. And they were great. And they're great. Like, I got a sweater for like $70. It's super nice. Big, like, batwing sweater that I'm going to wear a ton. And then I got, what was the other thing I got? Oh, it's like a gray sweatshirt with this cool drapey thing in the front.
Oh, I saw that. It's nice.
Looks great.
How are they? What's the sizing like?
They're very generous. The whole look of them is like very architectural, oversized, boxy things. So I'm only a medium. I'm usually a large everywhere else. But I just bought medium. So
nice.
I got two sweatshirts, or a sweater and a sweatshirt, and then I had to go back. I felt bad because only seven things allowed in the change room, so I had like four rounds, and there was kind of a lineup, and I was all like, oh, fuck all y'all.
You're like, bitch, I have one opportunity to do this without my children present.
I'm taking advantage. I have been waiting years for the store to become available to me, and I don't have my kids with me. I am taking my time. Yeah. And granted, I'm pretty quick. Like, I'm not somebody who like stands there for 5 minutes per piece and like hums and haws. Like,
and
before it's even down over my body, I already know if I like it or not. Yeah. Usually, well, as soon as it's over the boobs, I'm like, is this gonna? No, okay, take it off.
Yeah.
So I was pretty efficient with my time in there, but it's great. I'll be going back for sure. And they have a sale rack now, so I'll be going back. For sure. But even then, like the sweater was one sweater was 70 and one sweater was 125.
Yeah, that's great.
That's not crazy.
Mm-mm. I know. I want one of each of the little striped t-shirts.
Those are like $35 or something. Yeah. Like, those are great. Those are super cute. Yeah. And they have really nice dresses. They don't have a ton of pants. And they're mostly all culottes, which I'm not super into.
Long vaginas.
Yeah, big long legs. And I got a big butt and shorter legs. I don't know if a culotte's going to work for me.
They're having such a moment right now, though.
But I do have a lot of oversized tops, and I can wear skinny pants underneath, which mm-hmm. is my look. Boxy top, skinny pants.
Yeah.
Because my legs are great. Midsection's not so great, so I'm going to camouflage that. Yeah. And I still be able to need to fit a baby underneath, too, to nurse.
Yes, great.
So I tried on a couple dresses, and I'm like, oh, Abby, who are you kidding? What, are you going to lift your dress over your shirt? At Science World? It's going to happen. In a Starbucks? With your pantyhose showing? No. So you get the top. You buy your pants elsewhere. So it was great, and I cannot wait to go back.
Yeah, it's nice.
Lovely. I didn't even look at any of the jewelry, the accessories. I just or the shoes. I just purely looked at the clothes. That'll be for another day.
Yeah, I would like to go back. We should go back sometime. It's close to my office.
I was gonna say. Agricon.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We planned to do that, but it didn't. Our timing didn't work.
Yeah.
Out.
Yeah, I was in Gastown literally 2 hours after you were.
Yes. And I had a very short window.
Mm-hmm.
During when the older one's asleep.
Yeah.
By the time she wakes up, I need to be home. Anyway,
well done.
So that
well
was
done.
My. That was it. Was it was a down and then an up.
Perfect.
Fucking dresser and then shopping.
Perfect.
What do you do?
What do you do,
Katie? What do you got?
Well, I went to. First of all, I wanted to say that.
Oh, my mother loves your comb. By the way, she's very impressed.
Oh,
so Gail,
thumbs up. Thank you. I love it too. It travels with me all the time now. I was going to say just really quickly that. Some mild progress has been made on the front of feminism with the BC government made it basically illegal for companies to mandate that women have to wear high heel shoes to work.
Hi, 2017.
Hi. I know. So that's nice. It is also an election year. So,
and that's an easy thing.
It's like a pretty easy thing.
How long have we been fighting for like education funding and like environmental shit, and then you get this thing fucking signed in a week.
I know this, like, I mean, thanks, I'm not complaining, but like, yeah. Come on. Anyway, so that's cool. That was exciting. So I wanted to, if anyone had heard about that, we had.
That's very exciting. So if you work in, especially in the service industry, your employer can't make you wear high heels to work an 8-hour shift.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Or more.
When you're on your feet all day.
When you're on your feet all day.
So insane.
So fucking dumb.
Christy anyway. Clark, sashay away.
Yeah. But what I was going to talk about was yesterday I went to the Eastside Flea, which is like,
oh, yeah,
this little flea market thing that gets set up in Vancouver. It's a really cool little gathering of artists.
Is it still down by the bus station? Is that where it was?
Yeah.
And this cool, weird old building.
Yeah, it's cool. It's a really neat space. It's like $3 to get in, and it's all local artists and vintage handmade collectors people, and handmade. And
it's really cool.
Yeah, and donuts and
taco truck or something. And yeah.
Yeah,
whatever.
Fun.
Food truck or something usually shows up. And
I think it's every 2 weeks that they do it.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I was there yesterday with a couple pals, and I went to go. There's this amazing, like one piece ski suit.
Ooh, I know how you feel about that already.
Mm. It was like a sort of a greeny gold color.
What?
And it had like a little cinch belt and like a black, I think it was probably fake shearling.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
On the collar and the cuff, and you know, these big zippers up the side to go over your ski boots and stuff. And it was hilarious. It was like, you know, big patch pockets and stuff. It was hilarious. It looked almost like a flight suit. It was pretty amazing. So I had pulled it off the rack. And you know how you like hang stuff on this when you were looking at a garment, and you hang it on the side of the rack so it's facing out, but
you
it's still
hanging.
You
can twist the hanger. Yeah.
And I was looking at it and like, you know, checking in the pockets and like having a laugh and whatever with my friend Olivia. And then this other girl who had been shopping like in that same little area came over, and she's like, oh, that is so amazing. And like, isn't it cool? And like, you know, talked to the vendor and was like, oh, this other, you know, someone else is looking at this suit and blah, blah, blah. And she pulls it off. Like, as I'm looking at it, she pulls it off to go and try it on, which was like,
that's weird.
Kind of weird. Like, get up in my kitchen a little bit.
Yeah, a little bit.
Like, I don't really care. I'm probably not going to buy this thing anyways. But I was like,
give me a second to stop looking at it.
And it was Parker Posey.
What? Well, then, bitch, go right ahead. Take it. Oh, we just blew the sound.
We just blew the sound right out. Parker Posey from, if you're uninitiated, from Dazed and Confused and from
Every
Best in Show.
Josie and the Pussycats.
I mean, so good. So I was like, oh my God. Like, am I going to get into a fight with Parker Posey?
Yeah.
Over this snowsuit?
$60 snowsuit? This is unbelievable. It was hilarious. So she tried it on, and it looked kind of, I mean, I don't think it would have fit me anyways, but she tried it on and like took it off of the hanger, like right when I was looking at it. It was hilarious. Anyway, I don't know if she ended up buying it. I don't think so.
But still.
But it was pretty amazing. And then when we kind of walked away, I was like, to my friend Olivia, I was like, do you know who that was? She's like, yes, I know who that was. I was like, can you believe that just happened?
Did you ask you where her busy bee was?
I wanted to say, like, I mean, I don't really care.
What
I don't
usually
get starstruck or anything like that.
Sure.
I don't really care.
But of all the people to run into, she's one of the cool ones.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
Teacher's pet. I want to be teacher's pet. Oh, God. The amount of times I've seen Waiting for Guffman is...
It's so good. That movie. All of those Christopher guests are so good.
So great.
Anyway, I could not believe I was having a bit of a shopping battle.
I wonder what she's in town working on.
With Parker Posey, yeah. I heard a rumor that she's dating someone in the local acting scene or something. So I don't know who the hell knows, but I was like, fucking Parker Posey, that's kind of cool. Like, this bitch is doing
my
suit.
It.
Yeah. I hope she bought it. I hope she takes it to the next Sundance Festival or something.
Sweet.
And I'll see
big
it.
Sunglasses.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. I'll see it on some tabloid.
Oh my God.
That was my suit. Thanks a lot, Parker. Anyway, it was pretty hilarious. I knew you guys would enjoy that story. Sitting on it. Yeah, it was pretty funny.
We have
funny.
Nothing but time for that story.
Oh, God.
Perks of living in Hollywood North. It's kind of funny. Anyway, that was what I got up to.
Sweet.
So sweet.
Once I saw a guy from Battlestar Galactica, Taco Fino. Woo!
Woo, nice!
Not even one of the big guys. Just a guy.
I saw Will Sasso at a local coffee shop once. I was like, yeah, that's Will Sasso. He's quite a bit taller than I thought he would be.
He's a large man. Interesting. Yeah.
I saw
Wentworth Miller at Mark's Work Warehouse.
I hate you.
Oh, yeah.
And I was with my parents, and they, A, don't know, and B, don't give a fuck. And I had to text Evan. I'm like, I have to tell somebody.
I saw Rory Gilmore's dad from Gilmore Girls at an Eco Fashion Week event. That's the most starstruck
I've ever. Oh,
I was deep into my Gilmore Girls revisiting.
Nice. That time.
It was very apropos.
Many, many years ago, I saw Chris Isaak on Robson Street and almost walked into a pole.
I saw Jeremy Piven when I was in LA once. He's a tiny, teeny, tiny little dude.
Yeah.
Like as tall as me. I'm like 5'3". He's a little guy. Just a wee little guy.
Just a little guy.
Yeah. Oh, well.
We can regale you all day with minor, being generous, minor celebrity sightings here in Vancouver. But we can move on to the meat of the matter.
Let's move on.
So this week, we're continuing our t-shirt bend. And we thought we would explore how a t-shirt is made. And I don't mean like who sews it together and puts a logo on it. Like we're going to, like looking up how a t-shirt is made from beginning, from a plant to your body. And all the steps in between. And there are a lot of steps.
Yeah. And depending on where you're getting it from, it can travel around the world at least one time.
Yeah.
Probably twice. Yeah. Just because they're all, like, every single part of it is in a different part of the world.
Yeah, it's weird.
Essentially. And everything just gets shipped back and forth in giant containers.
Yeah. It doesn't make a lot of sense when you look at the economics of efficiency. It doesn't seem particularly...
And to even think, like, how is this t-shirt still this little amount of money?
Yeah. When it goes from... Well, for example, like if the cotton comes from a place like Tennessee or maybe
Georgia
comes
or
from,
whatever,
it might come from India.
Yeah, or Uzbekistan or Central Asia or something.
Somewhere in there. So this whole thing was sort of started on because we're making our t-shirts at the Hag Shop, but also Planet Money, which is a part of NPR.
It's a great podcast.
Really great podcast. They did a whole series on sort of the life cycle of a t-shirt.
It's like a podcast about economics and social issues and that sort of thing. So it's really cool.
From This American Life do it as well, I think. They're like sisters in podcast.
Yeah.
Anyway, it's a really great show, but they did a whole life cycle and we're like, oh, that would be an interesting
thing. Because they made a t-shirt, so they did a series, I think maybe about 5 or 6 episodes, maybe, I forget what it was, maybe a little bit like less. That. About how their t-shirt is just like a squirrel was drinking like a martini or something.
Yeah.
Was their
it's
t-shirt.
Cute, yeah.
It's great. It's a nice t-shirt. And they wanted to explore the economic and manufacturing steps behind on how a t-shirt gets to the consumer.
But even theirs, when they went through and broke down theirs, their women's shirt and their men's shirt were different stories.
Yeah.
You'd think that they would travel the same path, but not the case.
Yeah, in the same fabric. Head hole, 2 armholes, and a body hole, like with the screen print on the front.
Yeah. So I was listening to a couple episodes and sort of refreshing my memory on the whole process. And one of the things that was super interesting was like they were trying to like track the specifics, like every element of their t-shirt and where it came from and went to and whatever. And including like the cotton, they wanted to make sure that they had their cotton from start to finish, like they knew where it was all coming from.
They could follow it, yeah.
And turns out that's basically impossible to do because the place that they had, at least that they had their cotton turned from a hard good, essentially.
The little puffs,
raw cotton, where they had it turned into yarn, spun into yarn, is a place that is so massively huge that tons upon tons upon tons of cotton is processed there from all over the world, comes from the south of United States, it comes from Asia, it comes from Egypt, like it comes from all over the place. And lots of times it just gets mixed together because they're all just making these little threads and they have to be so consistent. The thread itself, the yarn itself has to be so consistent sort of across the whole process that it's sort of impossible to track this little cotton to turn it into a t-shirt is basically impossible. Like even the guys who run the factory there are like,
you can't do that.
You can't, I can't tell you for sure that like this barrel of cotton or this, bundle, whatever the proper word is going to turn into a t-shirt that comes out of this factory. It's impossible.
Yeah.
Like maybe it turns into a pair of pants. Maybe
and it goes through so many, through so many machines too. Like there's so specialized machinery, like they the picking
It's done a lot by hand, but I don't know if they can do it by machine. They must be able to do it by
probably.
Machine.
Oh, probably.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. And then that gets bundled, and then it has to all be washed and brushed and bleached. And these are all different machines, sometimes even multiple machines, to do essentially one step of the process to, you know, because it essentially looks like a cotton ball, right? When you make
literally a cotton ball, yeah.
That's, I guess that's why it's called a cotton ball.
Yeah, like literally.
I'm a brainiac. Yeah, put that together now. I'm 36 mm-hmm. years old. I'll just put that together now. So it's kind of like when you make, you know, you can see wool being carded with the big brushes, and it gets brushed out, so all the fibers are all separated. Well, they have machines that do that.
Yeah,
and they kind of just make sure that all the fibers that are kind of just mishmashed into a ball are all aligned and pointing the same direction and are all parallel to each other. And then it is washed probably a few times over. And bleached and brushed and bleached and put through and again. And then they make like a pulp out of it.
I think so.
And they wash it and they dry it. And then they have to spin it. Well, before it even gets to the spinning, that's done somewhere else. And then spinning is a very specific task that is done. I think they said it was in Indonesia, wasn't it?
In Indonesia, in this massive factory. This
huge factory.
Where there's like basically no people.
It was kind of interesting. Robots.
Yeah, it's all robots. And it's so specialized because... Like we were saying, like it has to be so consistent. The thickness and the weight, the
texture, the surface,
everything has to be so consistent because that's going to turn into maybe one yard of fabric that'll be knit, or a yard of fabric that'll be woven, or you know something that'll turn into medical gauze, or whatever it is that it turns into. It has to be so consistent because you don't know what the end product is yet. It has all of these other applications. So it has to be the same so that everyone knows what they're getting, essentially.
Because if you had to specialize the cotton for each specific product, like end product, the cost would be astronomical and the machinery would be incredibly expensive. And
Or it would be way smaller scale. And it would be more of a... like a vertically integrated system where you are in Georgia and you grow the cotton and then you spin the cotton and then you weave that cotton into a fabric and then you make a shirt out of the fabric and you do that all in one place or essentially one region or whatever.
Exactly.
You're not shipping it to Indonesia to ship it to Bangladesh to ship it to somewhere else.
That's probably not even like a percent of a percent of a percent.
Yeah.
The cotton that's in the world. It's one of the most used materials like cement and water and like all these huge things that everybody uses all the time. Cotton is one of them.
Yeah.
It's a huge good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That is a massive traded and
a commodity. Yeah. It's a massive. Yeah. We know words about things.
So the spinning is interesting because they just literally have these machines, like football fields and football fields of these machines that are just running.
Constantly.
Just making, and then they're then taken somewhere else, I think, and then they're turned into a fabric.
They would go onto these massive spools, essentially. Once they're woven, they go onto these enormous spools, and then they would go...
So if they give a spool of thread, everybody knows what a spool of thread is.
Yeah.
That times like a million?
Like a million billion? Yeah. Like enough thread that you could go and weave, you know, 2,000 meters of jersey to make a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Like, sure. And you need like a meter and a half to make a shirt.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just to give you a heads up.
Yeah.
You know?
So that doesn't even happen on the same place. It just turns into a yarn in one place. And the one that they use in Planet Money is in Indonesia, and it's an enormous facility. It's like kind of mind boggling how big this place is, apparently. I've never been, so I can't speak to that. But, that's before it's even a fabric. It's not even a fabric.
No,
yet.
It's just a thread.
It's just thread.
Yeah.
It's just yarn. Technically it's called yarn at that point.
And each factory or each producer has a specific type that they make. It's like they have their own special recipe. Like you would go to this person, this company, because you would want this sort of yarn.
Yeah.
To make X, Y, and Z. And that's like trademarked secret.
Secrets.
On how exactly it's twisted and sometimes if they're mixing with another fabric type too, that would be during this process too. It's not like they're going to knit something with one thread of polyester and one thread of cotton. That's not how it works. They would do it together in this one yarn, and that would have to be done at this spinning stage.
So it's like cotton silk cotton spandex,
yeah,
cotton, whatever,
cotton poly cotton blend, any, yeah, yeah, any,
yeah,
of those, yeah,
or any, yeah, any fabric you would combine to make a blend. That's how it would work.
Yeah,
it has to be at that base, yeah, level.
It's before it even turns into any kind of fabric.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
it might even be, some of it might, depending on the blend, some of it would be before it turns into the yarn.
Yeah,
it's crazy how specific and like technical it gets so fast. Like you think how things used to run in like, you know, even 100 years ago or 200, 150 years ago or something, and how like weaving and making clothes used to be, and you would do it by hand. That's what a spinning wheel is done. Yeah. Like that's what a spinning wheel is for, is turning raw wool into thread, into yarn with which you then knit a sweater or knit a whatever.
Yeah.
A snood. Put into a loom.
A snood.
The way you get your snoods.
What's a snood?
It's a head tube.
A silly nude.
Oh. It's like, it's just a tube. It's a tube of knit, and it's like a little hood. It's like a scarf and a hood. It's a snood.
Oh.
Or like there's another, that's one version of it. And then there's another one that's like the little net that holds your hair, like old timey, like medieval ladies. Like they'd knit a thing and it would hold your hair in. That's also a snood, I believe. It's also,
I thought you'd know what a snood is. It's like it's like a skiing thing, isn't it? You could wear a snood. Skiing, yeah.
Oh, yeah. Put your goggles on. Your big Varney sunglasses.
Yeah.
Oh, it would definitely be like après ski and gestalt.
Après ski snoot. Say that 10 times fast.
That's what I do with my suit. With my ski space suit.
You're hanging out with Valentino and gestalt.
Gestalt. By the way, I follow, not Valentino, what's his name?
Giancarlo.
I follow Giancarlo's Instagram. It's private.
He has an Instagram?
Yeah. His Instagram is private GG. It's hilarious. It's like afternoon tea is the caption, and it'll be like this grand palace route. Yeah. Like it's just,
and it's just Valentino in a suit with like six pugs in the newspaper, looking very staunch,
just super tanned.
Yeah,
like a leather mitt,
like a leather bag. Yeah, yeah.
It's hilarious. It's a funny Instagram to keep tabs on.
Good to know. You can live your fantasies.
Yeah, through. Exactly.
See how the 1% lives.
Yeah, yeah.
Oh man, he's not wearing any snoods.
No.
Oh, no.
No, probably not. He'd probably put a couple down the runway, though.
Probably has.
Maybe not. That might not be it.
Maybe in the 70s.
Yeah.
Maybe not these days. Maybe snoods can make it a comeback. we said it here.
It's hot for fall, winter 2017. I guess 2018. Anyway.
Back to the matter.
Anyway.
So now we have yarn. And now the possibilities are endless.
Yeah, and depending on where they go, you will get different kinds of fabric. But
so this has all been shipped from, let's say, the States.
Yeah.
This has all been shipped to Indonesia.
Yeah.
And now it can get shipped to China.
To China or
somewhere else.
Japan has a pretty...
Yeah, Japanese cotton's
pretty big,
a thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, pretty amazing woven cottons. But if it's a t-shirt, it'll be knit, most likely.
Yeah, so it'll be at a giant knitting machine.
It's at a big, giant... I think they're just literally called knitting machines. Like they're not even called looms. Looms are for weaving. Mm-hmm.
And they can knit them in a big tube.
Mm-hmm.
That's what a lot of knits, they just come out. I don't know if you guys have ever seen their little like hand knitting things and you make little worms.
Yeah, my niece has one.
little cat scarves.
Yeah.
Like, what else are you going to do with these Barbie scarves? Again, take that, multiply it times a million.
Like a million billion?
And that's what these huge knitting machines are like. There's YouTube footage of these machines. It's fascinating. And then nowadays they're totally like programmable and all digital and stuff, and you can make some crazy shit.
I just
and
saw
different textures and things. Like you make a PK, you can make a flat knit, you know, like you can make
herring
a cable
bone.
Knit, you can make a herringbone. Yeah. Like there's all these different
ribbed.
Yeah, there's all these different things you can do with just the knitting machine.
I know the difference they also between knit a knit them flat and a woven is so crazy when you look at how complex knits can be.
Yes.
On like
even the most basic t-shirt, the actual like mechanics of how the threads fit into each other
is looped essentially. It's like when you sit down and knit a sweater, or when you see someone sit down and knit a sweater, because I don't know how to knit. It is completely beyond me.
I've tried. I can't do it.
It's very hard.
My brain doesn't work like that.
My sister is amazing at it. And I cannot. They're chopsticks, essentially. It's what those are for me. I don't get it. Yeah, I do not know how to do it.
And you got to count a bunch. Ugh. Oh, yoy, yoy.
But it's that same.
On a microscopic scale.
It's crazy the stuff that you can do with a knitting machine. I just saw this thing, actually, that's like you can buy a knitting machine that you can program pattern pieces into, and basically
Oh, it'll knit you program, a sleeve or
yeah, it'll center program front. And then knit out like a kind of like 3D printing, and it'll knit out your panel. Mouth. It's so fucking cool.
And then you just assemble it.
It's so fucking cool. And sometimes sweet. It's like a whole, you can essentially, I don't want to say print, that's not the right word, but you can like knit.
Create, it's programmable, yeah.
Create a garment. And I think the machine, like I saw, it was just
these
like
machines
those,
are only going to get cheaper.
I know. And I was like, fuck, that would be kind of a cool little.
I want one now for my studio.
Studio business, right? Like, how cool would that be?
Start saving your pennies.
Oh, God, we need other machines before we do a knitting machine.
I know. But they're so cool, and you can, I mean, it's still like a $7,000 machine, but that is not
expensive. That's not that expensive. Yeah.
Mm. Anyway, it was super cool. I'll see if I can find the video. I don't even remember where I saw it, but.
We'll find some cool.
It was cool. And you just change out the spools for the different thread that you want for different colors or whatever.
Yeah, different combinations.
Just plug it in and.
Beep, bop, boop.
I'm sure there's a little more to it than just plugging it in. But
yeah.
I'm sure you sort of have to know what you're doing.
I'm sure that's what it is. Just plug it in. Let's go. Like, push the green
draw,
button.
Boop, just draw a picture of a t-shirt. Push the t-shirt button and out comes the t-shirt. Push the snood button and out comes the snood.
Oh, so now we have a knit. We have a knit product. Now this has to get from that factory, either by land, probably not by air.
Land, sea, or air.
The other thing, though, that if we're getting really specific, that doesn't include the ribbing on your collar necessarily.
No.
That's a whole different.
The neck hold, or if there's a cuff on the bottom or the sleeves or anything, because that's a different thing made on a different machine somewhere else.
Maybe from the same cotton.
Maybe not.
Maybe not.
Maybe there'll be, because they, like, I know what you'll see on a tag, 100% cotton, exclusive of trimmings.
Yeah.
Yes.
So then you'll be like, well, maybe there's polyester in the cuff.
Yeah.
To make it, or is a spandex or something to make it, because that's what helps, you know, the neck hole
from
sit nicely and flat on your, and it has more stretch to it, just the way it's knit, it has more give to it, and then it'll regain its shape better, because cotton knit can get stretched out, you know? But a ribbing is made to stretch and then come back into its original, or closer to its original shape.
Yeah, like ribbing, like if you're wearing a sweatshirt.
You can put your head through it all the time.
Yeah, if you're wearing a sweatshirt right now, look at your cuff or the neckline.
You'll see it looks different.
That's
or the
ribbing.
Waist.
Or the waist sometimes, yeah. That's ribbing.
So yeah, that comes from somewhere else.
That's different. And there's truly no way of telling if that piece came from the same cotton as the rest of the t-shirt, and probably didn't. It'd probably be an impossible task to determine where both of those two pieces came from on the same garment, even if they came from the same factory.
And that's frustrating on a lot of levels if you're looking for transparency in your clothing, if you as a consumer, because you can ethically source things and seem like, oh, this isn't made in a sweatshop, or this is 100% natural product, but then you don't know where the cotton comes from.
Yeah.
And there's a whole ethical, we can briefly talk about this because we can probably do a whole episode about cotton ethics.
Fuck.
Because there's a bunch of fucked up stuff happening.
Well, the history of the cotton trade in the States is
a long time.
Is a muddied history, to put it lightly.
That's a very complimentary way of saying
yeah.
It's one of the most fucked up things humanity's ever done. But between like Monsanto's involved, slave labor's involved, child labor, like there's so many things, political games played with countries. It's incredible. So it's really frustrating if you're trying to strive as somebody with, you know, in the Western world, trying to be all fancy schmancy and
ethical and doing the right thing.
You can't.
It's so
hard to. You can only do so much.
Yeah, with the system that you're working in. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, as the founder of Eco Fashion Week, Miriam LaRoches, you need to find your own eco recipe.
Yes. Find a way that you can help yourself sleep at night.
Exactly.
With doing what you can.
Because if you're going to try and live your life without completely fucking somebody over.
Like that episode of Friends where Phoebe tries to be like truly altruistic and she can't do it.
Yeah. Just like.
This is that.
It, just the way that the industry is set up, like there's just no way to truly
100%.
Have like the 100% ethical, sustainable garment.
Yeah.
It's just impossible.
The only way you could do it.
If
you do it yourself.
Damn cotton yourself.
If it's all 100% vertically integrated on your farm, essentially. There's a place in Montana, I can't remember the name of the company offhand, but there's a place in Montana, it's a sheep farm, and that's what they do. Like, they grow their sheep and the flocks, and then they harvest the wool and do it all there. I think they ship it to a place in North Carolina to get it turned into
the North yarn. Carolina has a lot of like textile stuff going on there.
Yeah, big time. Actually, that's where some of the spinning happens as well. Like on a global scale.
Yeah.
But they do all the spinning. They do it all in-house. And then they make their clothes from the yarn that they have. That's one place.
Tiny little company.
That does that.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, against a global industry, it's impossible for that. That's literally the only example I can give. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And Gildan or Hanes. Yeah. Like, forget it. It's impossible.
Oh.
Like, even the shirts, like, even our Hag shirts that we are making, hagshop.ticktail.com.
Mm-hmm.
We
did as much as we could.
It's impossible to know.
Be purposeful and, you know, aware of where it's all coming from, but we can only do so much.
Yeah, I don't know if we would ever be able to find out where the cotton came from to make those shirts.
Yeah.
Unless we had a nationally funded team like NPR to
throw some money at
it. I don't think we will ever
and
be
take,
able to
it take, you know, 6 months to investigate.
Yeah.
Have someone on
story
it,
about
like
it
5 days a week
and fly to Bangladesh and or fly to Indonesia or fly to, you know, North Carolina or wherever.
Please let that be our jobs.
Oh, that would be pretty cool.
We can be fashion renegades.
Investigators.
Yeah.
Yes, I like that. Fashion renegades.
It'll be pretty
We're
sweet.
Rebranding. Fashion Hags is over.
That's canceled. It's canceled.
Dang, we just paid for that URL.
We all got to get leather jackets and tattoos. We're fashion
Well, we all have tattoos. We're ahead of the game.
That's
true.
We go.
That's true.
Yeah. That's fine.
That's true.
But back to the subject at hand. So now we have the fabric. That gets shipped somewhere else.
And now actually is the easiest part of the whole thing is the construction
making
of
the t-shirt. Yeah. It's simple. You can make a t-shirt in 3 minutes.
Especially
if you have a production line going at it.
And that's specialized machinery and trained workers like these huge factories are in Asia.
Which is where, like, the absence of people in the spinning of the yarn now is where it's a massive
crucial
number of people who
are
involved in
this people
process.
For this
Human
this
beings
stage.
With emotions and feelings and needs and wants.
And
hands and
hands.
Brains.
Yeah. And children probably. And mouths
tiny
of
hands.
And bills. Yeah. Like everyone else.
Yeah. And this is where it's, like, specialization is a massive part of the whole process, but this part is sort of a bit tricky because the specialization is because of the human being element of it. So there will be people who will stitch the armhole and then pass it to the next person.
The left armhole even.
And then, and that's all they do 8 hours a day is they stitch an armhole.
Same left armhole. Seam.
Or they will put the tag in the back and then send it to the next person.
Put in the ribbing around the neck.
And that's all they
do. Just hemming them.
Yeah. It's not people like sitting down and making a t-shirt. It's someone sitting down and sewing one seam and then passing it to another person who sews a different seam, pass it to another person to do the cover stitch on the hem or whatever. So that specialization is where it gets really uncomfortable.
Yeah.
Because they're talking about skilled labor, which it is, but it's so specialized that it's not, it just becomes industrialized, basically. Mm-hmm. And it's hard to see that.
And dehumanized.
And totally dehumanized, yeah. Because they're essentially part of a machine. They're the cogs of a machine.
Yeah.
To build this shirt or whatever else.
As soon as they walk into that factory floor, they're not people anymore.
They're
and
numbers.
A lot of companies treat them as such.
Yes.
As pieces of machinery.
Your employee number 6459B.
Yeah, exactly. And we don't care what happens to you or how much we pay you.
Yeah.
And actually,
we do care how much we pay you because it's going to be the minimum amount.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But we want this much productivity for you within these
maximum
amount of hours.
Productivity, minimum of pay.
Yeah.
But it's interesting too, listening to the Planet Money, and obviously they get way more into it than we have the scope for.
Again, this could be a whole episode on itself, just this late labor.
But they talk about the... because specifically they're talking about Bangladesh because that's where their men's t-shirt end up being made. And they have, you know, flew staff over to talk to the factory managers and this and that and blah, blah, blah. But because that country is so 80% of the world's clothes are made in Bangladesh, which is
insane.
But because they are so specialized, there isn't room for anything else. Like everyone works in the garment industry or they know someone who works in the garment. Mm-hmm. Like it's a part
it's
of
so
every
pervasive.
Culture.
Yeah.
Or everybody's life, I should say, in that culture. And because they have just become the world's tailor shop, they don't have room to find other industries and develop them, or even things like integrating other aspects of the garment industry, like making textiles. Like, some textiles are made in Bangladesh.
Yeah.
But they don't do things like the spinning doesn't happen there. And the growing, assembly. I mean, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah, cutting and assembly. They might cut somewhere else.
Yeah. So it's weird. It's like a problem that at some point has to get fixed, but the system does not exist yet.
There's no flexibility. There's no wiggle room.
And the reason is because we all buy it.
Yes.
Yeah.
Specifically, North America all buys that shit. And it's going to get worse when Asia catches up to that.
Yeah, exactly. Their economy is 100% linked to this.
Yeah. Which is why, you know, shopping ethically makes such a big difference, makes such a big deal. And it's why the three of us, anyways, feel quite strongly about it.
Yeah.
Because you can see how much work goes into it and how much waste there is and how much...
Disregard for humanity.
Yeah, and how fucked up the whole system actually is when you look into it.
Like, there's like one of the biggest issues now in Bangladesh is unions, right? And people wanting to create unions or have unions to have more power. If they even get them at all, they're like essentially
you get a t-shirt.
And that's your union, and there's no other benefits.
That's it.
Exactly.
Yeah. And you got to make your own t-shirt.
And the government and the factory owners don't want unions because that gives the employees leverage.
Yes.
And bargaining power. So they don't want to give them a union because they're so set up in this system that's been going for, I don't know, say 30 years, really, that it's been happening.
It is. It's since the 70s. And Richard Nixon, turns out, was the guy who started the whole ball rolling.
Thanks, Nixon.
Yeah. Which is our super interesting story that, again, we do not have the scope to get into, but you should definitely look it up.
So also the way that the whole system is set up, exclusive of the people who are actually doing the work, works to their benefit.
Yes.
And it's the workers that are getting the short end of the stick. And they're wanting to change things. And the people who are in power are like, no.
We don't want that.
No. And there was recently a big, there's like, I forget the acronym for it. I don't have it offhand because I don't have notes on the specific part. But I was listening to another podcast, Pop Fashion. They were talking about how the Bangladeshi, I forget the word, like the Ministry of Clothing Manufacturing, that is not what it's called. Something like that. But the government body that regulates this sort of factory work, they were going to have a big international convention with like people like The Gap and Walmart and all these people who were going to come and have this big symposium and talking about the industry and what they can do and yada, yada, yada. But this government agency refused to acknowledge or allow any of the unions to show up. So a whole bunch of American companies said, we're not going.
Yeah, if they're not going, we're not going. Why would you? Yeah.
So which is good that the Gap's just not going to go in and say, hey, the people who work in there don't have a say in this at all. Who cares?
Yeah.
Are we keeping our t-shirts below $2? We're okay.
Yeah.
So it's nice to see that bigger companies like that are using their power at some, you know, throwing their weight around a little bit to make a difference and at least kind of try to attempt to stand up.
It's such a monumental...
These poor people working in the factories.
And it should be said, too, like, as, you know, three feminists, that most of these workers are women.
They're all women.
And they do not get paid enough. They do not get rights and recognition that they should get. And anyway.
It's also just, like, guess why places like Gap are taking things into consideration like this? It's because consumers nowadays demand transparency, and they... living in the digital age, we can call you out on your shit. We can Google what's going on. We can see all of this stuff. And
you can check sources and facts and numbers and look up.
And like the things. The social responsibility of a brand really affects the bottom line of the company.
It gets more so. It actually makes change because that's the thing. Like, nobody gives a shit until the cash is flowing.
Well, just look at the demise of American Apparel. In the DNA of the company was the social responsibility, but then when all these things came to light, it didn't matter that those measures were still in place.
Yeah,
it was moot at that point. Yeah. It just completely the company completely imploded.
Yeah,
the company from like having their highest profits died within under a decade because that's how bad things got. Like, they're completely out of touch with the customer.
Internal culture, yeah.
Yeah.
Interesting. Oh, well.
Where are we on our t-shirt? Because we do have to move on. Wrap up here.
This is the part that takes the least amount of time.
It really does.
Yeah.
Takes probably 15
under,
minutes.
Under 5 minutes probably to make a whole.
If you add it all up.
If you add it all up, steaming.
Probably 15. Yeah.
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 Yeah, it probably takes 15 minutes.
And folding and packing.
Of actual sewing. Obviously it takes longer than that when you're doing it. But if you have all of the pieces assembled and you have all of the people to put it together from start to finish.
Sitting in front of their machine.
And they are making one shirt. It probably takes 10 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If that, I can't imagine.
I know. It's
10 minutes seems like a lot.
Because you're so specialized. It is exactly. So specialized. Yeah.
That seam takes you 1.5 seconds to do.
Yeah.
It's an armhole.
Yeah, and then you pass it to the next person.
And you're done.
Yeah, there's my aunt Annette, who taught me how to sew, when she told me when she worked in the factory, if seamstresses were caught doing stitches in like more than 4 petal movements, then they would get penalized.
What?
Yeah.
Really?
That was so specific.
Yeah. Wow.
Like putting in a waistband, you could only do 4. It'd be like click, boom, done.
Yeah, because like, you had.
Yeah. So you went from center back to side seam to center front to side seam to center back. Done.
And that's it.
You can only do it 4 times.
And don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
Oh, boy.
Wow, that's wild.
Yeah. It's insane.
It is insane.
And I'm sure for like a t-shirt, it's 2. Like you go from side seam to side seam and then again around.
Yeah. And shoulder seams.
Yeah.
Armholes.
And sometimes.
Yeah. Your shoulder seam is probably just 1. Like, whew.
Yeah.
Yeah, and sometimes your shirt is a tube because it's been knit that way, so you don't even have a side seam. You have armholes and a hem and a neck hole.
Yeah.
Crazy. Oh, well. It's wild.
So now we have a t-shirt.
Now we have a t-shirt.
And now you have to ship it again.
And then it goes back on a boat.
Back to North America or Europe or wherever else it's going.
To a distribution center.
To a distribution center. And then wholesalers buy it and...
Then it gets shipped to the store. Then it gets
shipped to the store and then it's put out on the floor.
And in our case, I don't think
our manufacturing is not in Bangladesh. That's part of the reason why we chose it.
Yes, it's in the States. It's in, I think, LA. Hmm. But it still has to, the fabric still has to get from Asia to the
sewers.
To the sewers. And the cotton still has to get to wherever it gets spun. It might be North Carolina, but it might not.
Yeah.
There's really no telling where that fabric actually
came
from.
Getting that information's not possible necessarily.
Extremely difficult. This is where there's like fashion and the fashion industry and the fabric industry are parallel to each other, but not connecting.
Yes.
There's lines that sort of reach out towards both of those industries all over the place, but they are two separate things.
It's, yeah.
Which I had no real idea of until
I started looking into it in fashion school.
And
absolutely.
It's pretty wild. But that's our shirt. That's someone's shirt anyway.
And we also didn't talk about dyeing or screen printing or prints or anything like that.
Sure.
This is just a plain white t-shirt.
Yeah. The printing in our case will happen in... No, it'll happen here. It'll happen probably, I think, in Burnaby.
Yeah.
But it'll happen locally.
Mm-hmm.
And then our shipping will happen in our, you know, the basement suite here down here at my apartment or whatever.
Exactly.
But in most cases, it goes to a big warehouse somewhere. And
it has big specialized machines that do it all for you.
So
each of your shirts will be lovingly placed in an envelope.
By one of us.
Actually, I think we're going to hire Margot to do that.
Yeah.
Start early. Get her in child labor. It's just a part of the fashion industry.
Jam them in there. That's fine.
I mean, the fashion industry has never shied away from child
getting
labor.
Children involved.
So...
Tiny hands.
We might as well get her started.
To the ropes. Put a little mask on her so she doesn't breathe in all the fibers.
Yeah. That is awful. I'm sorry. That is an insensitive joke. But it's funny, I think.
I'm laughing.
It's funny because it'll never happen.
Exactly.
And I'm picturing the product that would just be these weird shirts jammed into envelopes.
Just stickers everywhere.
Markers. Yeah. Oh, there we go. Oh, good times.
Maybe we should get her to draw in a couple envelopes before we ship them. That'd be kind of fun.
That'd be pretty cool. We'll see what we can do.
We'll see what happens.
Awesome.
Anyway.
Well, that's a t-shirt.
That's basically a t-shirt. Yeah.
This is how we do it.
And we didn't even talk about cost because that's a whole other...
No, this is just purely manufacturing.
Yeah.
We do have... One of the nice things about our t-shirts is we do have a breakdown of the costs.
Yes.
To some extent.
To the best that I can
do it. That Katie can figure it out. So when you order, not if... When you order your t-shirts, go to our website, we have a whole big write-up about where the money's going, how it's divided, where, you know.
It's also in the description on this shirt when you buy your shirt.
Absolutely.
The reason that it's not more specifically broken down with like actual dollar amounts, like in the markup, for example, I explain like how the markup, like where the money in the markup actually goes and like what that cost
is for. Yeah.
But the reason, part of the reason anyway, is that it's not more specific in the dollar amounts, the dollars and cents, is because we didn't order these in advance. We didn't order like 50 shirts in a size run in advance. We order them
as they're being ordered.
So we will only order like the 22 mediums and the 6 extra larges and the, you know, 19 smalls or whatever, like however the breakdown works. So it's really hard to gauge where the costs are when and how they all get sold. So it's just sort of a complicated formula that is more boring than anything else. But as long as you know where, like the breakdown is there, it's more, it's hard to break it all down. But a company like Everlane, for example, does a pretty good breakdown.
Yeah, great idea. Great job.
On their transparency, when you order stuff from them, it tells you where it's made. In fact, like it'll tell you which factory it was made in and which country, and just like tour the factory, you can check it out, and where the markup goes and the cost of the garment and the shipping and all that kind of stuff. So check out Everlane. It's a very, very cool company. There's a few things on my wish list on Everlane.
Yeah, I got a lot on my wish list from there.
Absolutely.
Yeah, there's some cool stuff.
Good stuff. All right, well, let's wrap it up for now. We can come back and obsess.
Obsess.
Okay. We're back. We're talking about how I can't tell sides of a street apart. Baby brain is real. That's all I'm saying. Okay, obsessions.
Obsessions.
What do we got? Who wants to go first? I can go first.
Go first.
Go first.
Because mine's simple. And also, I'm not the only person currently obsessed with it.
Go on.
S-Town.
Ugh.
I'm literally,
I have burned through
4 minutes left in the last episode.
And
my kid was freaking out in the car, and I had to be like, I'm like, can I just sit here in front of my house for like 3.5 minutes? I don't even listen to the last 30 seconds because it's just the ads and like the thank yous and stuff.
And the last 4 minutes are like,
I know it's gonna be big. I know it's gonna be big. So
it's so
Dave's
good.
Already bummed because I'm already like 2 episodes ahead of him. Just burned through literally every chance. Like I'm like, I'll take the dog for a walk. I'll do all the dishes. Like, taking all.
Yeah, totally. That's what I do all of my.
Any opportunity I can to not be with my children and just put headphones in my ear for the last maybe 3 days is what I've been doing. And also my husband's sick. So thanks, Dave. But I've burned through all the episodes. I started the first episode and like, yeah, okay, this is interesting. What's going to happen? And then the second episode, I was like, oh, shit.
I know.
And it's then boom, 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 boom.
It's like, different.
It's Sunday today. And I think since Friday, I've listened to all of them.
I know. I burned through it in like 3 days last week, too. It's really good. I wasn't sure what it was going to
What the deal was.
We'll keep
this absolutely spoiler free, obviously. But the vibe's really weird and like it's not happy.
No, it's not happy, but it's still sort of
compelling.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? That's a good way of putting it.
You want to listen.
Is this fiction?
No.
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 It's real, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
Give me a true.
True crime.
True crime, but it's not even.
It's not a crime
true
even.
Crime, like it's. It's
it
just
starts
intrigue.
Out with, it
interesting
starts out with
character.
This crime and then things go from there completely unrelated to this crime.
Yeah. The story that you think you're going to get into is actually completely adjacent and actually not that interesting.
Compared to everything else that happens afterwards.
It's really good.
Yeah. It's only 7 episodes. Each episode is under an hour. Like some of them are like.
That's a day.
40 minutes.
I know. I want to listen to it.
So when is the miniseries going to happen?
Seriously?
The HBO miniseries?
I don't know.
I hope never. It's really good to have it in your head.
It's all based on audio interviews. So I don't know if they'll be able to make. I guess I could go back and talk to people and re-interview people. But anyway, it's great. I recommend it. It's awesome.
We're driving home for Easter this week.
Mm.
It's like about an 8-hour drive. So I want to see if I can convince Chris to maybe not all of it, but I mean, we could. We certainly have.
But that's the thing. Like, if you listen to part of it, you're listening to all of it.
You're not gonna
like crap out 3 episodes through and be like, man, no. Like, no, you're going to want to know.
You're invested, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Regardless of whether this is your type of, you know, subject matter or not.
I love that podcasts are like breaking through this new form of media. They've been yeah. around for so fucking long.
And it's interesting, like this whole story, because it's just essentially storytelling, right? Mm-hmm. But the way it's done, it's investigative reporting, it's storytelling, it's audio editing with yeah. music and voices and, you know, all sorts of things and making layers and, you know,
it's more
sound
theatrical.
Effects. Yeah, it's super theatrical. Yeah. It's like all these things combining into one.
It's but
like
it's not actors either. Like,
no!
That's what I like. That's my favorite kind of, like, audiobooks that are written or that are read by one person as opposed to, like, an audio play.
Yeah.
Where there's different, you know what I mean? It's like, it's still one guy telling the story. And there's clips and stuff that come in and out and whatever, and interviews and stuff like that. But it's just a really interesting focus. It's a really interesting character study, I think.
Yes, because it's about a guy.
Essentially.
Yeah.
Oh, it's really good. I don't want to say too much about it.
Yes. I don't want to spill too many beans. So do it. You'll love it. And I know everybody's talking about it. So I wanted to like read it.
Maybe I'll start
it
tonight.
I wanted to listen to it so that I can go back and read like all the articles about it too. And like I'll get in on the discussions because you want to get in on that.
Yeah.
And the whole thing is that it was all released at once. It's not like Serial where you had to wait 12 weeks to get to the story. Like, no, they released all 7 episodes at once and you can just boom, power through them all.
Which is my also favorite thing.
Also a great thing to do. But also like with that binge culture, everybody's going to talk about it now.
Yeah.
And then in a month, nobody's going to be talking about it anymore.
Yeah.
So I felt like I needed to get on the train.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Definitely.
While everybody else is on the train to be able to talk about it.
The other one, it's not my obsession that I suppose I could use it as an obsession another time, but I'll forget about it. But there's another podcast that is a true crime podcast that I burned through again, similar style, called Stranglers.
Mm.
And it's about the Boston Strangler and the story and the myth about the Boston Strangler.
Dave was listening to that one. It He's telling me about it. He said it was super interesting.
So good. Again, it was the other, it's the thing where you, like, once you start listening, like, you're not listening. You're taking the dog for a walk 12 times a day.
You're finding every 5-minute chunk of time that you can give to this.
You're like, I guess we could go grocery shopping. I'll see you in 2.5 hours. Like, yeah. Just walk around the block 1,200 times. Yeah.
Hit the convenience store, buy some milk and bread, come home.
Juggling a watermelon.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. You know what I think I'm going to do? I think I'm going to bake 12 loaves of bread today. So I'll be in for the day. I'm going to put this podcast on.
I'm cleaning the bathroom and the kitchen.
Yeah.
Exactly. You know what we haven't done? The blinds. I'm going to clean the blinds.
I'm going to take the long way home. Yeah, give my kids like, go home now, mama. Go like, right home. And I'm like, we're going like 45 minutes out of our way. And I'm going the long way around.
Yeah, it's really good. Anyway, Strangler is also very big.
My husband's like, you listen to it with the kids in the car? I'm like, she doesn't understand. It's fine.
It's fine. It's fine. It's not like it's a gruesome murder story or
anything
like
there's a lot of swearing and weird stuff happening.
Yeah.
That's true. That's
like, true. She doesn't understand.
She's never heard a swear word. Come on. Yeah, right.
She wouldn't even understand. It's like Chinese story. She doesn't even know what it means.
Oh, boy.
Anyway. Who's next?
I'll go next. Mine is a little bit...
chips are my current obsession right this very second.
Yeah.
Really good chips. What are they? Black pepper and lime. Real tasty. Anyway.
So speaking on like being on top of things that everybody's talking about, like you have to listen
finger
to
on the pulse.
Have you guys heard of this show called Downton Abbey? Yeah. I got my finger on the pulse of the show.
On top of it.
Called Downton Abbey. We started watching it ages ago.
You never, okay. Yeah, because honestly, I remember we talked about this before.
Yeah, I watched it a long time ago.
You fell off.
I fell off because they stopped adding new seasons to Netflix.
Oh, that'll do it.
So I stopped watching it. And then I just realized a couple days ago, or I guess it was like a couple of weeks ago, that they had added the rest of the season. They're up to season 6.
They only have
six
seasons or something, right?
Mm-hmm. Anyway.
Like 8 episodes each or something.
Yeah, so I've been sick this week too. So I've been working from home mostly and binging on these new seasons of Downton Abbey. And right now, like where I'm at, it's like 1925 or 26, I think, in this season. Fuck those clothes. I know it's been said 1,000 times before, but I can't stop.
Standing.
They like the beating and you can hear the beads move
they're
when they're
around.
Walking and like the feathers and the headdresses and the gloves, the time. Cora's got this like amazing peach scarf.
The last couple
full
seasons,
of dangles.
Cora's the shit. Because you want to look to like Edith and Mary because they're like the young ladies.
The plates.
No. Cora has got some good shit happening.
It is. Like, I forgot. I mean, it was good up until this point, too. But, like, now the 20s, like, fashion is, like, getting to be a bigger deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was more of a storyline. You could make it a storyline about the women's movement and everything.
Yeah,
like that.
Totally.
And like, remember, such a big shift between what they wear at the beginning. So it's 1912 or something.
Yeah. Exactly.
What happened, and this is 1925. That is a huge shift.
Yeah,
in fashion.
Basically
within 10 years.
Yeah. Like from Victorian to, or not like Edwardian almost.
Yeah.
Even.
Yeah. Because that's the stuff that the Dowager still wears. She still wears very Edwardian looking clothes. Mm-hmm.
Like, remember the, like maybe the second season, maybe, and Sybil orders a pair of pants.
Ooh, the harem pants,
and they're like, everyone loses their minds, and it's this like feminist moment and whatever. But fuck, the clothes in the '20s, like in the mid-20s, where they're
super
at right
fantastic.
Now,
fantastic,
and like their hunting jackets and stuff, like
everything.
When they go hunting and they have like the Norfolk jackets and the ties, and it's all like very masculine again, and oh, I cannot.
It's great.
Stop. That's what I'm doing when I go home.
I'm going to finish.
Yeah, because I'm almost done the whole thing now. So
beautiful.
Oh, and then we can finally discuss.
I know, it's so good.
At length.
Finger on the pulse.
You guys know me. I'm on top of it all. Yeah. Anyway, I know it's not news. It's not new, but fuck is
it's
it
great.
Good.
Doesn't make it any less awesome.
It's so good.
That's real, for real sure. Good. Evan. What about you, sir?
You know how I have this thing about white people?
Yes.
Not particularly white people, but whiteness.
White people be?
Being white.
Yeah.
Exhibiting whiteness. We'll get into that at a later date. Different podcast. But I
call
watched...
Minority Corner and tell them.
Yeah. I started watching this show called, or I finished the show called Big Little Lies, aka Crazy White Women.
I haven't watched it yet. I have them all recorded and I haven't watched them yet.
Cannot recommend it enough. I've been riding the Nicole Kidman train
for
quite
a long
some time. And I'm not getting off. This is probably some of Nicole Kidman's best work to date.
Interesting.
That's what I hear, actually, about this.
It's so
good. I heard the book's really good, too.
Good.
I heard this is a good book, but...
It's I didn't know like,
it was time to read a book.
Yeah. We listen to
things. No, when you have podcasts,
TV?
Yeah.
No.
Is it on HBO?
It's HBO, yeah. So it's very impossible to watch unless you have like an HBO Go or you watch it on TV, but it's very bingeable. I had to wait for like the last couple episodes to come out and I was like chomping at the bit.
Oh, you wanted like, to figure
it's
out.
So suspenseful. The whole show is set up basically, it starts with people like in a what's the place when you're like being in an interrogation room at a police station. So they're
okay. Something's happened.
All you know is someone's been murdered.
Someone's dead.
Someone's been murdered, but you don't know.
There's been a grandma has been raped.
Thank God you're here.
Sorry, that's a reference. I'm not making light of rape.
Yeah, anything
that is
that's from Summer Heights High.
Summer Heights High.
Anyway, sorry.
You are our people. But you know,
something's happened.
Here's what you know. Someone's been murdered and someone murdered them.
Okay.
But you don't know who's dead and you don't know who did it.
Okay.
So the whole show is you trying to figure out
what the pieces are.
Interesting. And the interviews are all these little clips like, we saw these two people speaking angrily. And like,
oh, a heated discussion.
Heated discussion
blank and
about
blank.
This. Oh. And he grabbed her arm. And she looked very frightened, like that kind of shit.
Yeah.
So it's just building intrigue one after the other. And it's, you literally don't know who it is until like the last 10 minutes of the last episode.
Wow.
You don't know who's
been murdered and you don't know who murdered them.
Interesting. Oh, that's cool, craftsmanship right there. That's some good storytelling.
Yeah. So like you go through the whole series just thinking, okay, obviously that's the person who's getting murdered.
Yeah, that's the person.
Obviously that's the murderer. He's fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Oh, I see. So it like
so they
flashbacks
build up,
and
they
stuff
build
like
up
that.
Literally every character in the show from like the kids who are like 5 years old to like the older adults who are like powerful businessmen and like crazy CEOs and like all this stuff. And everyone has all these different motives for hating each other and wanting people dead and like all this stuff.
Cool.
Yeah. It's just,
where's
like,
it set?
Monterey.
Okay. Cool.
In Los Angeles.
Yeah.
Are outside.
It's not in. Yeah, it's near. It's
near.
South.
It looks beautiful.
The suburbia.
From the
yeah, it's beautifully photographed.
Trailer and stuff.
Everyone has the best. They've all had the best work done.
Is it Reese Witherspoon, Nicole Kidman, Shailene Woodley, are the three ladies?
And Zoe Kravitz.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yeah.
And like, there's like,
what's his name?
Alexander Skarsgård, yeah. The dude from Parks and Rec.
Yeah, Adam Scott.
Adam Scott.
It's not a comedy, is
oh,
it?
No, no, it's okay, drama. Okay, that's what I thought. There's funny bits, but like...
You hear know. Adam Scott, you'd think.
Yeah.
Comedy. No, Adam Scott's character is like completely like bland, like boring, no jokes. Like,
oh.
Yeah, he's kind of a dud. It's kind of his character.
Kind of his deal.
Right.
Yeah, but...
Good to know.
Reese Witherspoon basically plays her character in Election, but if she never became successful.
Oh,
that's like her whole motivation for hating people and being an awful person
anywhere.
Because she never got anywhere. She just had a baby when she was in high school and never got to go to college.
And peaked.
And got royally fucked over and by then her ex-husband.
And got super...
Man.
Yeah.
There's so much reason... There's so much layers and people have multiple reasons for hating each other and it's just like...
It's like a soap opera, but
yeah.
Properly.
Yeah, totally.
But legit.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Awesome. Yeah, highly I would recommend. Like to see it.
Highly good recommend. And Nicole Kidman wears a top-notch wig.
Wig. It's been wig talk.
Yeah.
It's been wig time.
It always comes up.
Yeah.
It has to.
Mm-hmm. Dick jokes and wigs. That's us. And some fashion in between.
I guess we have to. Speaking of fashion in between, go buy a shirt.
Yeah, our shirt's awesome.
Our shirts are super awesome. I'm so excited about this whole project. More information, obviously, is on the website at fashionhagspodcast.com. And then the store itself is thehagshop.ticktail.com.
Mm-hmm.
One will get you to the other and vice versa.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
All the information is there about the sizing, about the shipping. As we mentioned before, if you are purchasing one, we will make that one specifically for you, so there won't be any returns. We just can't
accommodate
that. We just can't accommodate
that,
unfortunately.
Yeah. We're not at this stage.
If we were NPR, we could probably pull that
sure.
off. But we're three people in a basement.
Or if we were part of the podcasting network.
Yeah.
So all the sizing information is there, so just make sure you take a look and a gander. You're going to love the shirts. They're super nice and soft. They're like 100% cotton. They're beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Classic black. Big old hag right in the front.
Yep. Cross your chest. You can be hag too.
You can be hag too. Anyway, check that out. And thank you to everyone who has already placed an order.
Yes.
We have until the 29th of April to do it, unless we sell out before that, which is absolutely possible. So get on it.
Yep.
And you can reach out to us in all of the usual ways. If you have any questions, fashionhags@gmail.com is probably the easiest.
Yeah.
But also...
We check our Instagram all the time.
We get great messages on Instagram all the time. Love
yep.
it. Like our Facebook page as well. It's on
cool
Facebook. It's on this thing called Facebook.
Look
Have
it
you
up.
Guys heard of it?
Google it.
Google Facebook and see what comes up. You might be surprised. Probably won't though. Anyway, check that out. And Thanks to everyone for buying and sharing.
And thanks to all who will be ordering in the future.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, now's your chance before they sell out.
Yeah.
Anything else, you guys? Any other business we needed to?
Nope, that's it.
That's it.
Keep listening and order the damn shirt.
Yep, get on it.
And when you do get your shirt, tag us.
Yeah, we want to see you guys wearing them. That's so fun.
It'll be super fun.
Yep. Anyhow.
Awesome. Thanks for listening, guys. And we love you.
And we love fashion more.
Bye.
Fashion. Hey.